the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Professor Pete Lund, Research Professor at the Economic and Social Research Institute, is with us. It's been a while, Pete, since we last saw you. One of our favourite behavioural analysts. If I say to you that if you try and bring up COVID-19 in conversations with people now, they try and brush it away quite quickly and move on from it. Would that be an accurate summation of how the way many people behave towards it?
Well, to be honest, Matt, it's certainly an accurate summation of the way I like to behave towards it. I mean, having talked about nothing but COVID for about 2 years, I was very happy to spend a couple of years having very little to do with it and not coming into studios to talk about it. But I do think we've got to the point now where it is important that we learn the lessons from it. And unlike some other countries, we've taken quite a while to get to a point where we're doing an official evaluation. And what I'm talking about, the report we've released today isn't part of that, incidentally, but there is now an official evaluation underway. And I think taking a bit of time to get to that and letting everything cool down and let any political tensions out of the way for a while is probably quite a good thing, actually, if you want to come back to it a bit more rationally and a bit more coldly to look at what we did and how we might need to do it better in future.
Because a lot of things I've heard people say is we would never allow ourselves to have a lockdown again in the way that we did have a series of lockdowns during COVID. Is that something that you found from your research, that is the way that people think?
No. And I think you're always going to, the people who are going to continue talking, the people who are going to continue voicing opinions, are always going to be the people who are most disgruntled with how things were done. I mean, our research and the report we've released today, which looks across an entire period of almost 2 years of the pandemic, that research would suggest that the overwhelming majority of the population supported the restrictions that were put in place and, if anything, thought that for a lot of the time they were too lax. Now, when we look across the whole sweep of the pandemic, I mean, that result remains. It's hard now to remember quite how frightened everybody was, particularly in the first year or two. And I think the people making the most noise were always the people who were most disgruntled. And part of our job, actually, was to look at what was really going on among the broader sweep of the population.
So what was going on?
Well, what we find is that any changes were very slow. The very, very large majority of people were doing their best to abide by government restrictions. They thought they were doing it more than everybody else was doing it, which is kind of interesting because, of course, you could see the people who weren't, whereas it was hard to see the people who were maintaining sort of safe standards because they tended to be at home.
So does that mean, though, sort of people saw people as they perceived it to be breaking the rules rather than looking to emulate them? They were angry at them.
For the most part, that's correct. It is true that if you saw too many other people taking too much risk, it would make you more likely to say, well, you know, why am I doing this? And why am I the only one doing this? So maybe I won't. So we do see a relationship there. The more you saw that other people were doing the right thing, the more you were likely to do the right thing as well. But it remains the case that the very large majority were restricting their behavior. They were restricting how often they went out. They were restricting how many people they met. They were restricting what they did when they met those people. And they continued to do that. And they continued to abide by those restrictions. And actually, it's really interesting. I mean, there were very slow changes that took place. Even when policy changed and restrictions were lifted, it would often be a number of weeks before people would come back out and begin activities again. People were very cautious, actually.
Okay, without wanting to reduce this to binary, but could it be that for many people are rule takers and other people are rule breakers?
Well, rules certainly helped, but I don't think it's to do with personality in terms of breaking rules or following rules. It was to do with, and we can see this in the data when we looked across the 2 years, it was to do with whether you really thought that if everybody followed the rules, we would get the desired outcome. So the people who behaved the most safely, the people who avoided the risks, they tended to be the people who thought, if I do follow these rules, I can see that if we all do, we're all going to be better off. I can see that it is an effective way to try to fight this disease. And most of the population thought that it was. And the more you thought that it was, the more you saw the strategy as coherent and you could see that the rules contributed to reducing infection levels and you were persuaded by that, the more likely you were to do it.
Okay, but then on the days where we used to get big numbers of new cases, was that frightening people into following the rules?
Yeah, that was really interesting, actually. Again, we had to look across the whole couple of years to see this. We thought once the vaccine came along that the kind of emphasis on the case numbers in people's minds would probably fall away. And at the time, I remember thinking that we would probably concentrate a little bit more on hospitalizations. I mean, how many people, even though we had a vaccine, were still going to hospital, or even how many people were dying from the disease. Actually, right up until the restrictions were finally lifted, when it became apparent that the Omicron variant was not as serious a health threat, right up until that time, in kind of the first quarter of 2022, it remained the case that the daily case numbers were the best predictor of people's willingness to go out and take risks. It was as if we lodged a kind of measure in people's minds very early in the pandemic, and it just stayed there. It was just a measure they were using all the time for the level of risk that we were facing.
Okay. And what about the vaccines? Did you do research into attitudes towards vaccines?
Yeah, that was interesting too. So what happened there was, when we first, the vaccine was first developed, there was a large majority who were immediately willing to take it. And then there were two other minorities, one that was vehemently opposed, and that was only about 5% of the population. And they continued to be vehemently opposed to the vaccine. But there was
quite... And very vocal about it.
Oh, sure.
Cases.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. The anti-vaxxers were there, but they were a very small minority. There was a somewhat larger minority who were just worried about it. And they started off being unsure about whether they would or wouldn't take it. What was interesting is, over time, most of those people did actually take the vaccine, at least one or two doses. And when you look back again across the sweep of the whole data, I mean, the vaccine made a huge difference to what we were able to do and to reducing the amount of serious disease and death.
But does the data go on for long enough to tell us whether people became, shall we say, vaccine resistant? As in, not that it didn't work for them, but they decided not to take it because they had heard stories about alleged flaws with the vaccine.
No, we wouldn't have seen that. I mean, we would have seen some degree of people who would take the first couple of doses, and then it would be harder to get them to take a third or a fourth, perhaps, if they were in a vulnerable group and older. But in general, the movement on the vaccine was from negative to positive rather than the other way. A little bit the other way, but not much.
Okay. There's a listener who wants to know, where does this man get his facts from? So you're the research professor at the Economic and Social Research Institute. You're a professor, but where did you get the facts?
So this, most of our data, not all of the data I'm talking about here, but most of it came from the Social Activity Measure, which was an anonymous online survey that we carried out for 18 months for the Department of the Taoiseach. And it was a survey that did a representative sample of 1,000 every couple of weeks through the pandemic. And we were asking people about exactly where they'd been, how many people they'd met, whether they'd had close contacts, whether they'd done things like maintain distance and wear masks, this kind of thing. And it was all done online and anonymously. And that was really important, actually, because to get people to be honest about what they were doing, you needed it to be online and anonymous. And we could see the fluctuations in people's behavior and how it changed as the pandemic went on. So that's primarily where we were getting our information from. And some of it turns out to be really interesting. I mean, you can see misperceptions in there as well. I mean, you could see that the amount of risk people thought they were taking was not necessarily accurate compared to what their behavior actually was. So just to give you an example of that, I mean, when people started meeting other people again, they would meet up with one other person and they would perceive a certain amount of risk. And if they then started meeting up regularly with two or three more people, they didn't see much more risk. It was as if things were either okay to do or not okay to do. And they kind of saw it in a binary way like that. It's a very rules-based kind of way. So the data's detailed enough that we could see all of this.
Okay, this listener says, we were scaremongered into the restrictions. If we didn't stick to the rules, we'd be arrested. We didn't have a choice. Fear was put into us. When I think back now, some were ridiculous.
Well, I'm afraid the data simply doesn't support that. I mean, actually, one of the really interesting things is we measured the degree to which people were scared about being caught and fined, whether they thought there was any chance that they would be. The deterrence effect was actually really small. Overwhelmingly, people's behaviour during the pandemic was voluntary. They didn't think there was a chance, much of a chance that they would get caught, and they didn't think there'd be many consequences if they did. So although there was a big debate at the time about the appropriate degree of punishment for breaking the public health restrictions, interestingly, that deterrence effect didn't seem to be very large. The lesson we really need to learn from this is that the very large majority of the population will voluntarily do things for the greater good, provided what they're being asked to do makes sense to them, they see it as simple, and they can see how it relates to a good outcome for everyone.
Thank you very much for this, Professor Pete Lund, Research Professor at the Economic and Social Research Institute. Here's a really interesting message from a listener. I hate how people talk about COVID because 2020 was the happiest year of my life as a disabled person. I can't leave the house more than twice a week due to exhaustion. And during 2020, there were so many online social events almost every day. Now that lockdown is over, I've become extremely isolated because all of those events no longer exist.
The last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.